الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. وقال تعالى: فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول: اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. رواه إمام مسلم. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Alhamdulillah, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by attending our Friday session with the intention of having hopefully one thing in mind, and that is creating a better outcome for what we are and what we intend to be. That is why in Islam we have what is known as the Friday prayers. What's the idea of Friday prayers? Is to get the Muslims and the people of the community together, and it is hoped that because of the goodness of the people and hopefully because of the sincerity of the one that is giving the khutbah, giving the sermon, that individuals hopefully will become better than what they were a moment ago. As a matter of fact, there are certain conditions of the khutbah. And if you study the conditions of the khutbah, that is why there is a debate many times: can the khutbah be in English or Arabic or Spanish or Arabic or the local language or Arabic? And when you analyze that debate and discussion, according to some, when a certain criterion is fulfilled, then yes, it can be done in any other language. And according to others, if it fulfills only the given criterion in Arabic, even though it is just a minute long, it's sufficient and it counts as a khutbah. That's why you'll notice when we come up here, we call it the khutbah, and the khutbah is very, very short. How come it is short? Because the criterion is fulfilled. And what is the criterion? And why I'm talking about this is because this is the essence of why you are here. And the criterion is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Almost every khutbah has what? Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi, wa natawakkalu alayh. The acknowledgement of Allah, the seeking of assistance from Allah, seeing the greatness of Allah, asking that Allah for forgiveness. What's the second part of a khutbah? Giving nasiha, giving advice. Advice for what? For a better ummah, for a better outcome, for a better direction, for a better future, for a better society. Not just local society, global society. Why is that aspect of possibly global society? Global because when people get together for the Jummah Salah or for the Khutbah, they are not just from one given area. They are coming from various places. We get people driving through from Colorado. We get people driving through from, you name it, they are going through. You get visitors, you get locals, you get people that have never come before, you get people that always come. The diversity is enormous. That is why the topic is supposed to be broad as well. And also as part of the khutbah, there's another aspect that we forget about. It is not just making dua for the locals, but for the nationals, and if you will, internationals as well. So my brothers, why do we mention this? We mention this to show us the value of what we are part of, and to show us the value of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of each one of us while we remain in what we call a part of prayer. By the way, for the record, I've been talking since this morning. I can see my voice is about to be giving up. So I got to now be a little bit more conscious of my voice before I continue talking on, as they will say, fifth or sixth gear. So I'll lower my voice at this point before we have any more problems. But it suffice to say, Allah in the Quran says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah and take part in your abilities to fulfilling your requirements towards Allah to the extent in which you are capable. Very important. Fulfill your obligations towards Allah to the extent in which you are capable in fulfilling your requirements towards the given Allah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَقَّ تُقَاتِي. And do it in a manner that does not trespass your boundaries and the boundaries of our community and boundaries of our society. And I want you to look at the depth of this ayah. Just when you bring the water, it goes away, mashallah. Which means that we have to look at our deen. Now hear this very, very carefully, folks. We have to look at our deen from the point of deen, from what the Quran, Hadith and Sunnah expect of us, number one. And at the same time, we have to look at the deen from what the environment also speaks and seeks of us. It sounds very, very simplistic in nature. Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, very, very easy. Environment, very, very easy. That's it. We live happily ever after. That's what Shaitan tells you. But if you are to look at Quran, Hadith, and Sunnah from what Allah demands, so you have Allah, the Creator, send down the various prophets. They came with a system. That system built up Quran, Hadith and Sunnah for us to use in our everyday life without violating our current environment, you realize that Islam is not that simple after all. On the one hand, it is simple in what it expects, and the thing that makes it very, very complicated is that we at times don't have a meeting of the minds. Everybody is using their brain on a different wavelength. That is why if you examine, and I hate to bring this up, Islamic and Muslim countries, they are in a chaos. They are in a state of shambles. They are in a state of shambles. Let's talk a little bit of politics, right? We know what's happening right now in Kashmir. And it's not a mystery. So a young boy, naturally, because he's from Pakistan, he comes to me and what he says, we're going to wipe India out if India comes and they mess with us. Now look, it sounds very nice, right? We have nuclear warheads and we are willing to give our lives. This is what he says. Now what is he? He's simplistic in his brain. He's not looking at Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, and Quran, Hadith, and Sunnah. He's not looking at the environment, and he's not looking at geopolitics. I looked at him and I said, my friend, when I talk to people, when they're not using their brains, I go, Baba, use your brains. He says, what you mean? You know what we have over there and what we can do. So I asked him the following question. I said, when last did you watch Bollywood? Oh, now he caught up. He goes, Imam, that's not what we are referring to. I said, use your brains. How can you wipe a country out when every wedding you go to, Islamic wedding, has Bollywood songs playing in the background? I said, you even make the bride dress like a Bollywood star that is a mushrik. Mushrik is, they believe in idol worship. And you telling me, after following a mushrik, chances are great, I said, your father and mother got married in a masjid and probably had a mushrik system where you have Bollywood music going on
with the Quran above the girl's head as she's walking in and out, and then telling me you're going to beat Bollywood when they do something wrong to your Muslims in Kashmir. I said, are you using your understanding when you are talking to me? My brothers and sisters, this is a young boy talking, so we don't look beyond what he says. But this is something that applies to each one of us. And we seem to have this idea that we are going to be successful. I mean, excuse me for saying this, my brothers. Iraq war took place. When they left from Iraq, what was left over there? Afghanistan, the whole thing took place with Osama bin Laden. Then what happened in Afghanistan? What's happening there right now? And the list goes on and on. Understand one thing, and listen to this very, very carefully. Whenever a war takes place, listen what I'm saying very carefully. Whenever a war takes place, the people of that place never, ever benefit. Hear me again. Whenever a war takes place, the locals of that place never, ever historically benefit. It is always the third hand that is supplying that material of arms that always benefit. Am I right or wrong? Brother Muhammad Jama, you read the news. Am I somewhat right in what I'm saying? And if anyone thinks that through a war and a Muslim fighting another Muslim, or one country fighting another country, that country wins, I'm afraid you don't know simple politics. And I don't know politics at all. And if I know this much and you don't know this much, then you have bigger problems than me. That is why this morning we read a very beautiful dua, and this is what I would like to stress upon. And that's the whole idea of talking here today, is wherein Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I heard my Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam saying the following. You know, by the way, before I tell you something, I mentioned this aspect about Bollywood before in California. And a brother came to me and said, Imam, I'll give you advice. He was a scholar. And this is the advice he gave me. He said, don't ever attack the musallin for what they're watching. Let them enjoy, let them enjoy. So I said, let's say his name was Harun. I said, Harun, why do you say this? He says, Imam, let them enjoy Bollywood and let them enjoy Hollywood. Let them become misguided. I said, why? He says, because when the community becomes guided, the first thing they'll come and throw Sharia on you. They say, this is haram, this is halal, the Imam is wrong, they'll get you out. Let them enjoy, let them enjoy. That way, whole night they watch Bollywood, their businesses are upside down, they get up in the morning, they can't focus. You live your life, you get your paycheck, they live their life, they get their paycheck, and we can enjoy it. Look at how people are thinking. So you think I'm putting you down when I talk about how Shah Rukh Khan did a certain dance. By the way, I don't even know anything about his dancers. But it's amazing, and all these women that are basically doing things that are improper in nature. And even if you talk to Hindus locally, this is what they tell me. They say, you know, Imam, there was a time in Indian movies that we never saw a boy and girl kissing. And even they themselves say, we don't know how low our industry is going. But one thing we can say, and again, no attack on the Muslims, if Hindus don't support Bollywood, rest assured, our Muslims will do it. And they will do it, and later they will come and talk about how they're going to attack India. As I've always said, attack anyone that you wish to attack. If you got them in your heart, eventually you'll support them. And this brings us to the other aspect, and I mentioned this regarding the Palestinian crisis, where there is a guy taking a stone and he's throwing it at the tanker, right? He's taking a stone and he's throwing it at a tanker, and the reporter laughs. And by the way, the Palestinian crisis is a universal crisis for Muslims. We can all link to what they are going through because that is sacred land. And as he's throwing the rock at the tanker, the reporter, I don't know what region or who it was, he mocks and he says, look at this Palestinian young man. He's throwing a stone against America. He's throwing a stone against Israel. But the way in which he does it, he has a pair of jeans that says 501, and 501 is a Levi company, and you know who's the owner of it. And he's doing it so, as he throws the stone, you can see his pair of shoe. It says Nike. It says Levi's. The t-shirt says Reebok. And the pocket in the back has an iPhone coming out saying, iPhone whatever. He says the man is claiming one thing through action, but his heart is somewhere else. This is what we all are part of. This is what we all are part of. Am I against wearing Levi's? You may see me wearing Levi's when I'm cleaning my backyard, whenever I have time to clean it. May Allah give me more time for that. We're not against Levi's or iPhones. What we are addressing here is a very important issue. Is it over here or is it out there? And I'm afraid for most of us, it's all inside and not on the outside. By the way, why am I talking this way today also? It's because I went to an event where we spoke about liberation and how to liberate the soul. That's why I'm moving on from my previous mode. So don't take this personally at all. So the dua of Rasulullah ﷺ says the following, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. And I want you to memorize this hadith. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda says, where the Prophet is asking Allah, oh Allah, I'm asking you to guide me. A Prophet asking Allah? How can a Prophet ask Allah? Isn't a Prophet guided? What guidance does the Prophet need? From the time they are born, from the time they are young, a Prophet is protected. You'll never hear of a Prophet being with an immoral woman. You'll never hear of a Prophet taking part in gambling. You'll never hear of a Prophet taking part in alcohol. You'll never hear of a Prophet abusing another individual. Never. From Adam alayhi salam, to Musa alayhi salam, to Isa alayhi salam, to Nuh alayhi salam, you name it. You'll never hear of a Prophet taking part in anything that's haram. Yet he's saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. Oh Allah, I'm asking you for guidance. Why is he asking for guidance? Not because he's in need of guidance, to teach you and I that don't think you know it all. Don't think you know it all. Don't think you've seen it all. And you are always in need of asking Allah that, oh Allah, put right my affairs. Oh Allah, put right my business transactions. Oh Allah, put right my eating habits. Oh Allah, put right my wudu. Oh Allah, put right my thinking. Not very easy. It's easy to make the dua, but to be aware of that dua in light of what Allah expects, in light of what the hadith and sunnah and Quran expects, and in light of what my environment expects, it is very, very challenging. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. Prophet asking, oh Allah, I ask you for continual guidance. And Quran is not like a GPS. You know when GPS first came out? Go read up on it. You'll find out. People were following the GPS and some of them went into a ditch. Some of them went into a river. Some of them went into, you name it. Because the GPS was not fully functioning. In other words, it was not refined. So people were blindly using the GPSs. And they really got blind after that. Excuse the pun. So here we are asking, oh Allah, guide me. Not like the GPS into a river. We are asking, oh Allah, guide me in accordance to the demands of the environment, demands of Quran, Hadith and Sunnah, and demands of what Allah expects. Because if you deviate from this, you will destroy yourself and your community. وَالْتُقَى And oh Allah, give me, I'm asking you, oh Allah, to give me consciousness. And consciousness actually means the continual ability to make right decisions in the right manner all the time. Because your decision is sometimes right. Nobody denies that. But just because you are making the right decision doesn't mean that the time in which you are doing it is right. For example, the governor called you to eat. Now you're not going to say, you know, I'm a very good Muslim, and all of a sudden you start saying, pass me the water, start washing your hands for everybody, and then the fork and knife you move in one side and you start putting your hand and you start eating and you start licking your fingers where the sunnah says so. They look at you and say, what's wrong with this guy? It's not that it's the wrong thing to do, but the time may not call for you to do it in that given way. So it's doing the right thing at the right time, also in the right manner. And that's what it says in the hadith, where Rasulullah makes the dua, that, oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, and I also ask you for consciousness, and a continual state of consciousness, without me deviating from it in my everyday life, without violating my culture, my religion, my creator, and what is expected of me at all times. And you will notice, most people make mistakes because of their lack of understanding in the reality of these aspects. So Rasulullah used to make this dua, oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, and I ask you for consciousness, as alhamdulillah we have briefly described. And wal afafa wal ghina. In the essence of time, I'll make it very short. And afaf actually refers to keep me chaste. Keeping you chaste doesn't mean I'm staying away from men, I'm staying away from women. It's not limited to that. Keep me chaste in my transactions. That means how I present myself, for example, in the masjid. I mean, there are certain expectations on how you come to the masjid. If you just start wearing shorts, or if you're a religious scholar and you come with a punk hairstyle, then it doesn't mean you are a chaste person, right? It means there's something wrong. That means you are living on multiple levels. You've got maybe personal schizophrenia or religious schizophrenia. That means you don't know what is expected of you on a religious level, in a religious environment, to what is out there. And may Allah protect us all from that. So being chaste means making good moral decisions based on your given environment, as well as in understanding what your current and your outer environment expects of you, in line with the religion. And wal ghina, and oh Allah, make me content with what you have given. Not that I must not work harder for more. Yes, work till you go blue in the face if that's what you want to do. But be content with what you have. Because if you are not content with what Allah has given you, my brothers, you will ruin your iman, you will ruin your families, you will ruin your society, you will ruin your community. And I've seen this happen. That if you are not content with what Allah has given you, whether it is food, whether it is health, whether it is wealth, whether it is your wife, whether it's your husband, whoever and whatever it is, whether it's your children, whether it's your parents, if you are not content with what Allah has given you, rest assured, you are a shipwreck waiting to happen. Therefore, the hadith says, where Rasulullah is making this dua, oh Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda, oh Allah, I ask you for continual guidance. Oh Allah, I ask you for continual consciousness, wa tuqa, wa al-afafa, for continual chastity, modesty, morality, and wal ghina. And oh Allah, make me happy and content with what I have. Because I'm afraid, if I'm not going to be guided, I'm not going to be conscious, I'm not going to be a moral, good individual, and I'm not going to be content, then I hate to end with the following note. You'll be just like a dog running behind every car down the street. What do dogs do? It sees a car and it runs. My friend, why are you running behind this car? He doesn't say, well, this is a Rolls Royce, therefore I'm running behind it, but that's a beat up car, I'll let it go. You will be running after that rainbow, I'm afraid, and that rainbow will keep on coming and going, and you'll be like dangling a carrot and you'll be running just like that animal that I have mentioned. So may Allah protect us from becoming like that. May Allah give us guidance. May Allah allow us to make this dua a reality, so that way we can fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to fulfill and attain as believers. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Inshallah, next week there'll be a